Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is time to talk business, and we have an online business expert and author on the line with us. Tina Forsyth is an entrepreneur. She's an author. She's done a variety of things. The book is The Entrepreneur's Trap, How to Stop Working Too Much, Take Back Your Time, and Enjoy Life. I'm all for that. Welcome to the program, Tina.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
All right. Well, the website, you gave this to me, and I've already been to your website, I have to confess. You got a bunch of cool videos and interesting stuff, and of course, the online store, TinaForsyth.com. Just to spell it out, it's Tina, then F-O-R-S-Y-T-H. So TinaForsyth.com.
That's right.
Okay. So there's a million things to talk about. The first thing I have to ask, of course, one of your big things here is about how to stop working too much. I have to ask, you haven't talked to my wife, have you?
No, but I've heard from many other wives.
Okay. Well, actually, I don't work weekends, so I'll get that out right out front. And But when I'm working, I'm working. So If she calls, I'm like, okay, this better be important. But no, we manage it pretty well. But for a lot of business owners, they don't. And they fall into a lot of different traps and things like that. You've seen a lot. You began working online in 1999.
Yeah.
You wrote Becoming an Online Business Manager. And then you co-founded the International Association of Online Business Managers. And then the thing that's really interesting is you created the Automate Your Growth formula, which I'm all ears for that. I'd love to automate my growth, which teaches entrepreneurs how to step-by-step set a strong foundation for business growth. So with that introduction, why don't you kind of give us an overview of how you kind of view the world and what you're trying to accomplish in working with business owners?
I got into business for myself. I like to say that, you know, I started my business because I don't like people telling me what to do. You know, I'm like, I like freedom. It's really important to me in my life. And that's a big part of what I look for in my business. And when I started my business back in 1999, you know, it really came from that place. I wanted to be able to have more freedom to do what I wanted to do and all of that. And yet, over the years and with the various types of clients and colleagues and such I've gotten to know over the past 10 plus years, I just see that way too many people, they start a business and they find themselves essentially trapped in it.
They become a slave to it almost, right?
They do. Some people really do become a slave to it. And I know, you know, I've heard people joke from time to time. It's like, you know, oh, hey, I'm my own worst boss or whatever, you know, like when they work for themselves and such too. It can get a little nutty. And I think it's even doubly so in today's day and age because of how connected everybody is too. Right.
Well,
we've got our smartphones.
Yeah. You've got to set, and I know you're going to get to this about setting boundaries, but it's a big deal because we are so available or there's so many ways to get to us. And and I don't give out my cell phone, for example, and I'm sure you'd recommend that, or at least people be careful about it because I've got an office number and that's what I want you to call.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because I think for a lot of people, they feel like they have to be available 24/7.
Well, and that's part of the challenge of the economy is they feel like to be competitive, they have to.
Yeah. And depending on the business you have, I mean, there's obviously businesses that require more time and availability. I mean, if you're retail and you're open on a weekend, you're open on a weekend, right? But a lot of entrepreneurs I know, I mean, I work with a lot of service-based, a lot of online type businesses. And, you know, really, for the most part, if you decide to work weekends, you decide to work evenings, you know, whatever you decide to work is fine. But it's really a matter about being purposeful that way. You know, I have two small children. They're 4 and 6, right? And, you know, I've heard this from many parents, mothers, fathers, and so on, that many entrepreneurs are also parents. It's like, you know, it's not uncommon to hear the story of, you know, hey, mom, when are you getting off the computer?
Yeah.
Or what are you doing there? I've had that myself.
Oh, yeah.
You know, from time to time where I'm like, oh, just one more minute. You know, 3 hours later, I'm still sitting there.
Yeah, it's really tough. And, you know, I'm a few years ahead of you with an 8, 9, and 11-year-old.
Oh, wow.
And I know exactly what you're talking about because it's a challenging balance because you want to give them all your time, but you also have to be realistic because a lot of us do not have a quote-unquote regular job, especially if we own our own business or starting one and trying to build it from scratch. Thank God I started the business when I did not have those children because it would have been, you know, because then I was traveling and working longer hours. But that's definitely a challenging balance to achieve.
Yeah. And, you know, it's really a matter of being purposeful with it. I always say to people, too, you don't have to, it's not about having a 9-to-5. For many of us, 9-to-5 isn't necessarily possible when you have your, I mean, it can be, but for many of us, that's not the reality of it. It's more a matter of being purposeful with a few things. You know, first and foremost, when do you not want to work? Yeah. I take a stand for myself. I don't work on weekends.
Yep.
Unless if I'm traveling, I'm at a conference, I'm speaking, right, whatever it is, I do not work on weekends, right? And I've been very good with that for many, many years now. But I will work evenings. You know, my day doesn't start until about 9. Kids are off to school, et cetera. My day doesn't start before then. But if I need to do some work in the evenings, quite often I end up doing that, right? And I'm fine with that. That's fine for my schedule. For some people, they may not want to do weekends or evenings. Other people may be okay working with working weekends. But it's really a matter of making sure that you're purposeful with, you know, here's my lifetime that does not involve business.
Yeah.
And even, you know, don't be checking email on your phone.
Yep. Yep. You know what's funny? I love that you said that, is I actually have an extra cell phone that I keep it kind of as a like a backup. I go for an early morning bike ride and I have it on my bike just in case. And I'm, you know what? I'm actually thinking about leaving my iPhone, which is my main phone that has all this extra technology on it, either leaving it in the briefcase or something and just sticking the other one in my pocket and saying, I'm unplugged and I've got one if I need it, but I'm not plugged in so much.
Yeah. Well, and this is the thing I know for me. Like, I tell people, you know, I don't work on the weekends. I also do not touch my computer on the weekends because I know if I go near my computer, I will get sucked in.
We know where you're going to go. You're going to end up over on the work schedule. Yep.
Oh, yeah. And it's so, I mean, it's just a matter of, I'm good at this now because I've built the habit of it, right? But I remember in the beginning, when I decided, okay, I'm not going to work weekends anymore. I swear I could sit there and hear, at that point, there weren't even smartphones necessarily, but I could hear my computer calling me from the other room.
Yeah.
You know, check the email.
Check me.
I mean, nowadays, I know people who sleep with their smartphones.
How about that?
You know, and they're getting up and waking, you know, if they happen to wake up in the middle of the night, that's the first thing they'll do.
Wow.
You know, check their email and all of that. And, you know, not that it's always that extreme for everyone, obviously, but it is a matter of just being purposeful. Like you said, I mean, okay, maybe I don't take my smartphone with me.
Well,
I'm doing my workout in the morning or whatever.
It's really difficult for entrepreneurs. And as you said, Tina, over the last several years, you know, entrepreneurs, especially small businesses, have taken it on the chin, on the head, on the back, right in the middle of the chest. It's been a really difficult time. Businesses have failed, and the ones that have struggled or, you know, tread water to survive, it's taken rolling up their sleeves, pouring everything they have, time, money, energy into their business just to keep it. And some even still failed. But a lot of them, which we'll go to a quick break, come back, we'll talk about the trap and then also setting boundaries. Tina Forsythe's on the line with us, ladies and gentlemen. The book is The Entrepreneur's Trap, How to Stop Working Too Much. Take back your time and enjoy life. Available, TinaForsythe.com. We'll be right back after this break.
What's your dream? Play golf every day of the week? Turn that hobby into a new career? With careful planning, you can make it happen. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your no-obligation consultation. At Holland Financial, we want to help you take the first step towards making your dreams a reality. That number again is 888-747-7526.
We're back. Tina Forsythe's on the line with us, TinaForsythe.com. The book, The Entrepreneur's Trap, How to Stop Working Too Much, Take Back Your Time, and Enjoy Life. And you know what, Tina, I get a lot of books when we do these radio guest programs, and I am really looking forward to reading yours.
Right.
I am, because I'm like, okay, there's a lot here. So talk to us a little bit about setting boundaries. How do you set boundaries? What we started kind of got into that a little bit before the break. What is that about?
Well, part of it is the time, like we already talked about.
Yeah.
And from that perspective, I just say the keep simple version is, when am I not going to work? Look at it from that perspective. You know,
it's like blocking off time.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, it doesn't have to be this hour, that hour, et cetera. It's just be very clear on what your non-working time is. Commit to that. And then
and tell other people
that,
about it too, right? Tell the family.
Yes.
I mean, if the, you know, instead of the child saying, when are you going to get off the computer, say, here's my 4-year-old may not quite understand it, but, you know, an older child will say, okay, this is when I know mommy or daddy is around and when they're not working and because they have these responsibilities.
Yeah, yeah. And we need to commit to it on all sides, you know, to ourselves, to our family, and so on.
So they hold us accountable.
Yeah, to hold us accountable, absolutely. The other piece that comes into play with boundaries is you really need to decide for yourself what should and should not be on your plate. As an entrepreneur...
Oh, I love this one.
Well, yeah, and many of us, I mean, it's just as a default, especially in the earlier stages, as a default, we're going to do everything.
Yep.
Right? And it's part and parcel of, especially in the startup mode of building your business. But as you continue to grow and expand, you know, one of the other bigger traps that people fall into, I call this the do-it-yourself trap, is just they literally keep doing everything in their business. And, you know, hello, been there, done that. I call myself, I'm the ultimate control freak when it comes to stuff and my business overall, so I totally get this one. But you really want to take a look at, too, it's one thing to say, okay, I'm going to stop working so much, I'm going to have non-working time, et cetera.
Yeah, and that sounds good, but if you try to do it all yourself, that's not going to happen.
Well, yeah, if you still have everything on your plate, then that can actually become very, you know, almost impossible in some cases. So I like to, I call it creating a yes list for you as an entrepreneur. You want to get really clear on what are the things that should be on your plate that you should be doing in your business. And outside of that, when you get clear on this yes list, anything that's not on that plate, you want to look to either delegate or automate and get it off your plate. That really rhymed. I don't think I've said it that way before, so that sounds
good
like
for
a
you. That's delegate, that foresight automate. I was telling you about, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But when I talk about creating your yes list, it can vary a little bit depending on the business that you have. But for most people, this is something I talk about in the book as well. For most of us, it really boils down to about the same thing. You know, you're in charge of the big picture vision, strategy, et cetera. What is your business all about? You need to keep that on your plate. You know, marketing and sales, most of us will need to keep that on our plate in some way, shape, or form, or make sure we're pretty plugged into.
Well, if you own a business, you are the chief marketing officer, whether you want to admit it or not.
Yeah. And some people, of course, you know, wish they didn't have to be. And, you know, right. I get that. But you need to be involved in that in some way, shape, or form. You know, whatever it is you're doing, delivery of services, you know, if you're a service-based business or if you're a retail business, obviously you're going to be pretty involved with whatever the retail is, the products and so on that are going on. You know, bigger picture, joint venture relationships, speaking, teaching, media, all that kind of fun stuff, right? There can be some things in today's day and age, you know, writing articles, blog posts, social media, some of that stuff too you might be involved in, which kind of falls under the marketing umbrella.
Oh, yeah.
But really, outside of those things, you don't really need to be doing everything else. And I challenge people when you start to really take a look at your day and you can take inventory a little bit and start to realize how many things are you doing that you don't actually need to do.
That is really the key. And I'm going to totally agree with you on this, Tina. Is because one of the things that I saw very clearly is I've had my business for 15 years. And one of the things I saw clearly as we, you know, grew and got bigger is, not only could I not do things, I'd have to give up things, even if I liked doing them, even if I was good at them. It became a question of, do I have to be the person that does it?
Yeah. Like, is it the best use of your time?
Yeah.
You know, there's things I love to do. Like, I'm a bit of a geek at heart. I'm a bit of a tech geek at heart. You know, like, I could hop in and play around with this site and tweak this and that. And I actually enjoy some of those things, right? Like, I actually enjoy bookkeeping. I was almost an accountant. You know, I'm a bit weird that way with some of this stuff. But it's like, at the end of the day, that is not the best use of my time. And if I'm going to spend a bunch of time, like, you know, trying to tweak a newsletter before it gets sent out or something mm-hmm. along those lines, versus focusing on the marketing, focusing on the sales, you know, having conversations with people and so on. Yeah, it's really like, what's the best use of my time? And it is a common trap. It's one thing to delegate the things that you don't like doing.
That's the easy part. Obvious. That's the easy
that's
part,
the easy
right?
Part. But to delegate the things that you like doing, or that you do well,
right,
and that you're really picky about.
Yep.
You want to make sure, like, hey, I don't want to let this go. Somebody else might screw it up. You know, those are the things that are tough to delegate and that are tough to let go of. But that's where systems comes into play in this whole process, too.
I agree. And I want to get to more details about the system. Our guest, ladies and gentlemen, is Tina Forsythe. The book is The Entrepreneur's Trap, How to Stop Working Too Much, Take Back Your Time, and Enjoy Life. And you can start that by going to tinaforsythe.com. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Our guest, Tina Forsythe, she and I could talk for hours on this because she trains and she's studied this and I've lived it and running a business. And I agree so much with what Tina's talking about. The book is The Entrepreneur's Trap, How to Stop Working Too Much, Take Back Your Time and Enjoy Life. And you can go to her website, tinaforsythe.com. So we've got to have a system, right? Isn't that one of the keys, Tina?
Yeah, systems is one of these words that for many entrepreneurs either kind of makes people yawn or makes them want to run screaming. You know, it's not the most exciting topic for a lot of entrepreneurs. But when you get and understand what it can actually mean to your business, your systems become a very, very powerful thing. And when I say systems, it includes, you know, people, technology.
And your process.
Processes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, here's how we do things around here.
You know what I use as an analogy, and you are free to take this. You probably have something similar in your book. I always remind people, our staff, and also I sometimes use this with clients, we are making 16-ounce bottles of Coca-Cola, not 17. Mm-hmm. So it's 16 ounces. That's what we do. If somebody comes in and wants something really, they want a 39.6 bottle of Coca-Cola, that's not what we do.
Yeah, too bad.
Because I'm going to have to stop the assembly line. I'm going to have to redesign a bottle. And odds are, when I do that, I'm outside of my area of expertise.
Yeah. And, you know, it's amazing how many people, there's a couple of aspects to systems that are really important. You know, for me, one of the biggest ones is, as an entrepreneur, and as I mentioned already, you know, I really am a control freak at heart. I think a lot of entrepreneurs are. And I call myself a recovering control freak because I've learned to let go of things. But the only reason I've been able to let go of things is because we've centralized everything that goes on in my business.
Yeah.
You know, my business is virtually based. The people that work for me literally live in another country. You know, I mean, I'm in Canada. They're in the U.S. I have people all over the place.
How about that?
Yeah. And so day to day, of course. But even if you're sitting side by side in an office space, the same thing applies. You know, one of the tougher aspects for me when I went from being a solopreneur, just me doing my work, to actually expanding my business a few years back and started hiring more people, one of the toughest things was, okay, who's doing what? You know, those were the middle of the night moments for me where I would wake up in the middle of the night and be like, oh my gosh, did this person do this or that? Did they get this email? Did they not? I'm not sure. You know, like that's the stuff that would drive me nutty. We got, and this happens with a lot of people. You know, a lot of us, a lot of entrepreneurs will run their business out of their inbox. Emailing back and forth, you know, that you have no idea. You can't keep a finger on the pulse of what's actually going on then when that's the way a business is being run. And, you know, not only is it stressful for you, it's stressful for the team. You know, things, balls get dropped, things fall through the cracks, all that kind of crazy stuff goes on all the time. I highly recommend if someone hasn't done this already, and just as a first step from a systems perspective, look to get a virtual office, a project management tool of some kind set up in your business. We use Central Desktop is the one I like and use. There's lots of them out there. You know, and depending on your business or your industry, there might even be specific things for you that make sense. But you need a place where you and anyone else on the team can see at a glance, here's who is doing what.
Oh, that's cool.
What project management is.
Right? I like that.
Like, here's who is doing what. Here's the deadline, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You can see at a glance, are things done? Are they not? You know, you can see check status, et cetera. It also includes your systems, your SOP guide, right? Your system or standard operating procedures guide, which is a pretty buzzwordy kind of term. But that's basically your here's how we do things around here guide with all your processes and all of that fun stuff. You know, we keep that in Central Desktop. So you want to have that centralized as well. You know, you need anybody on your team theoretically should be able to hop in at any given time, take a look in the system and be able to say, oh yeah, here's how I do this. Here's how I do that, right? It's not that people are interchangeable. I don't want to say it from that perspective, but I always use this example, which isn't the most fun example, but it actually happened in our business last year. You know, my business manager, Tiffany, we were just a couple of weeks before the launch or the start of one of our bigger training programs that we run every year. And literally 2 weeks away, I get a Skype message from her on like a Tuesday afternoon or something where she's saying, my sister's been in a car accident. I have to go. Like her sister was killed in a car accident.
Oh, my God.
And Tiffany was, and of course, as you can imagine, she was gone. She was unplugged, right?
Oh, totally.
We had been, which is brutal. I mean, that's just not a fun thing in any way, shape, or form. And so the thing was, though, I've been really purposeful in my business and as a team. We've been really purposeful in centralizing everything. And there was a momentary like, eek, yikes, you know, she's gone. What am I going to do? And then it was like, wait a minute.
We've got
because
a plan.
We had everything loaded up in Central Desktop. It was
excellent.
Kind of like, okay, this person took over this. This person took over that. They knew how to do it. You know, for us, it was a bit of a blip on the radar. It was not a crisis.
And that's because you organized and you had a plan in place so that it's not all depending on one person.
Well, yeah.
Exactly.
You know, you can't have your business. You cannot build a business that relies on one person alone.
Amen to that. Amen to that. My staff would agree with that. We have Tina Forsyth on the line with us. She's written the book, Entrepreneur's Trap, How to Stop Working Too Much, Take Back Your Time, and Enjoy Life, TinaForsyth.com. One more quick break, Tina. We'll come back, and I want you to give us kind of a quick, maybe final tips on how to take back your time. Stay right there.
Sometimes I know what I want to say, but just can't find the words.
Last week I shouted at my grandson, and I'm not sure why.
I saw my daughter, but couldn't remember her name.
The sooner you recognize the warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, the sooner you can do something about it. To learn more, go to alz.org/10signs. That's alz.org/10signs. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
And we're back. Tina, you know, I wish it were an hour program with you today, but it's only 30 minutes, so I've got a little over a minute and a half to go. So what are some final tips for our business owners and entrepreneurs out there, or even just busy business employees, salespeople, and other folks to take back their time?
Another one of my favorite tips that I recommend is what I call a planning three steps ahead approach, because it's really easy for a lot of us to function in chaos and as a default mode. You know, if you wake up in the morning and you don't, or you go to bed at night and you don't know what you're doing the next day yet, you know, that's functioning in chaos mode. And it happens for a lot of entrepreneurs. And that's highly, highly draining, not only for you, but for anybody that works with you as well, too, and can be very, very inefficient. A lot of time and energy can be wasted there. I know some people, I mean, I'm one of these people who kind of resist the idea of a long-term business plan. And, you know, right or wrong, of course, you know, I can slap my own wrist for that. But one thing I find that works for me is, even if I don't know what I'm doing a year or two from now, I do know what I'm doing three steps ahead from now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like this idea of like a three steps ahead planning approach, right? Whether that means it covers the next month or if it covers the next 6 months or a year, depending on the type of business. As long as you know what's coming three steps ahead. You know, we're working on this project now, and then we have that project, or we have that launch, or we have that program, or whatever it is, that marketing initiative, et cetera. When you build a business from the perspective of being able to know, decide what the next three steps are, then you and anybody on the team can start to be proactive around it.
I love it.
You know, so much I love time it, and
Tina.
Energy.
I know. Yeah, and there's so much we could talk about. Tina, we'll have to have you back another day. Tina Forsythe's been our guest today, ladies and gentlemen. The book is The Entrepreneur's Trap, How to Stop Working Too Much, Take Back Your Time, and Enjoy Life. TinaForsythe.com. Tina, thank you very much.
Thank you. My pleasure.
All right.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.